Good day, everyone, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to today's United Linux press conference. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks and introductions, I will return the call over to Mr. Tim Byers. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and good morning. My name is Tim Byers of Upstart Communications. Welcome, and thanks for joining us. This call is to announce the United Linux Initiative, an effort spearheaded by four companies, Caldera, Connectiva, SUSE, and Turbo Linux. A press release with more information was issued today at 8 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time. In a few moments, you'll have a chance to hear from each of the CEOs and a selection of the partners supporting this initiative regarding what the announcement means for each of their companies. Following that, we'll open the call to Q&A. On the call with us are Ransom Love, CEO of Caldera, Jacques Rosenzweig, CEO of Connectiva, Gerhard Burcher, CEO, and Marcus Rex, Vice President of Engineering of SUSE, Lee Pham, CEO of, and Dino Brusco, VP of Marketing of Turbo Linux, and a number of well-known industry partners. We have Rich High, VP Platforms and Infrastructure, AMD, Allison Bean, Senior Director of Rapid Application Development Solutions, Borland, John Pinkham, Vice President of Marketing, Computer Associates, Dr. Joseph Rieger, Chief Technology Officer, Fujitsu Siemens, Judy Chavis, Director of Linux Program Office, Hewlett Packard, and Scott Handy, Director of Linux Software Marketing of IBM. Before we get into details, allow me to just provide a brief overview. United Linux creates a global, uniform, business-ready distribution for Linux worldwide for vendors to certify and customers to implement and support. Worldwide, customers have been demanding a totally unified Linux code base. This now provides it. The United Linux code base is a standards-based Linux OS, and it's LSB and LI18NUX compliant. This will work with all existing Linux infrastructure in place around the globe. The United Linux organization will invest resources to create a single Linux operating environment available in the fourth quarter of this year. This means there will be only one Linux code base to certify for partners for their software and servers, and customers will have to support and maintain only one code base, simplifying the lives of IT managers who want to bring Linux into their enterprises. Each company will produce its own distribution based on this code base, powered by United Linux. Each distro will provide one unified Linux code base for IBM's complete e-server product line and AMD 32-bit and 64-bit platforms and Intel's x86 32-bit and Itanium processor family platforms. The four companies represent unprecedented global reach for delivering, supporting, and servicing Linux in the enterprise worldwide. And combined, the companies have more than 30 years' experience creating and drafting Linux solutions. United Linux combines the best practices, expertise, and intellectual property of the four companies. A single platform created by United Linux will give rise to further innovation and improvement in the enterprise capabilities of Linux, accelerating its worldwide adoption for business use. Collectively, the United Linux companies are the market share leaders for Asia, Europe, and Latin America, and number two for North America. The substantial technical and financial resources each company had previously invested in developing their custom operating environments can now be applied to developing new software that will enhance the enterprise capabilities of Linux. United Linux's primary charter is to solicit and understand the needs of enterprise customers. Everything United Linux delivers will be in accordance with what customers demand. And finally, nearly every vendor supplying a piece of the technology infrastructure used by businesses has come out in support of today's announcement, including systems and software vendors AMD, Borland, Computer Associates, Fujitsu Japan, Fujitsu Siemens, Hewlett-Packard, IBM, Intel, NEC, Progress, and SAP. These partners will contribute to United Linux by serving on a technical advisory committee to ensure that enterprise customers' needs regarding Linux are understood and met by the common distribution. I'd now like to introduce each of the CEOs, turn it over to them for their comments, beginning with Ransom Love of Caldera.
Thank you, Tim. Really, I'd like to very much appreciate all of the industry partners that are on this call as well. Many of them have played key roles in trying to bring this about, and something that has come to fruition that I think is a monumental step for Linux, especially in the consumer space. Just from Caldera's perspective, the development on United Linux is already well underway. Caldera has already merged its core Linux distribution team in Erlangen with the SUSE engineers working on the United Linux effort. That happened several weeks ago, so development is well underway. It's something that we're pretty pleased with. Ralph Flaxa, under the direction of Marcus Rex, who's on the call, will be heading up that United Linux team. And for Caldera, we see United Linux as a way of providing to our very active reseller channel a very viable business platform that they can begin to use to around the world as an alternative upgrade path for many of the existing customers they have today. We'll be able to leverage this through our 24/7 worldwide support, which we're very pleased has won some recent significant industry awards in the area of Linux support. United Linux for Caldera will also be made available on our Open Unix 8 platform with our Linux kernel personality. So it will be our customers will be able to choose to write a Linux application and then deploy it either on our Open Linux powered by United Linux or on Open Unix 8 powered by United Linux. And then we have United Linux is our key roadmap for both our i32 and i64, 32 and 64-bit roadmap for our existing install base of Fortune 1000 replicated sites around the world. United Linux is also the core base, frankly, for our current Volution Online, Volution Manager, and web services opportunities moving forward. We see it as an opportunity, frankly. We recently certified a volume of our Caldera's LPI curriculum that had been certified by LPI, so it's an opportunity to leverage that and provide key educational components for that. And United Linux for Caldera is also a platform that we've waited for some time. It gives us a model where we can begin to contribute much of our Unix IP and Unix technologies, optimization and knowledge that we've had for many years towards a optimizing Linux for a business environment. So it's a key step for us and our customer set going forward, one in which we have awaited for many years. With that, I'd like to turn the time over to Gerhard to introduce to you what the unique role that SUSE plays in this United Linux effort.
Yeah, thank you, Ransom, and hello to everybody. For SUSE, United Linux is especially key in the context of our extended enterprise focus because it will expand our reach into markets where we are not active yet. As Europe's number one Linux distribution with headquarters in Germany and offices in the UK, Italy, and North America, we can now even better address our global customers' needs. We believe that United Linux is good news for industry partners and end users. ISVs and IHVs can now concentrate their development and certification efforts on one single major business Linux distribution. Our customers will benefit much faster from the latest ISVs and IHV technologies and will have a greater number of software and hardware solutions from what to choose. Our business customers will have one superior certified Linux distribution in terms of quality, scalability, and continuity that is tuned to businesses' most pressing needs. Companies will have investment security through defined release cycles and maintenance services, keeping their United Linux solution for a granted period in a stable, secure, and tested state. The United Linux initiative will make Linux corporate computing a worldwide reality. Global accounts will welcome the availability of one unified product combined with a set of services delivered either by the local Linux player or a globally acting partner like, for example, IBM Global Services. United Linux-based business solutions will be available, as said before, for all IBM hardware architectures as well as for AMD and Intel 32 and 64-bit processors. For companies hosting complex IT infrastructures, this opens the door to the unprecedented perspective of spanning the entire hardware with one single powerful enterprise operating system. The United Linux engineering team encompasses resources from all four Linux companies, as Ransom mentioned already. Within this initiative, SUSE performs the unique role of the product integrator. While all members jointly define the design of the product, SUSE engineering is responsible for the development and the quality assurance of the final product releases. To sum this up, for SUSE, this is a great step into a new dimension of business. It allows us to keep focus on our value add from engineering through marketing, sales, professional services, and support, while expanding our reach to areas in the world where we are not present today. We are very much looking forward to work together with our partners toward a new dimension of Linux. Thanks, and now I give it to Chuck from Connectiva.
Thank you, Gerhard. We at Connectiva, that is the larger distribution and service provider of Linux in South America, we are very excited to be part of United Linux. I would like to share with you that our organization is very excited and very committed to make this happen in South America, because this will represent a significant opportunity to enhance the penetration and presence of Linux in our region. This initiative that we are today launching, United Linux, represents the main strategic corner for us to get into the large corporation accounts and the large corporation markets. It is opening for us at Connectiva all the certifications for ISVs and IHVs that are mainly outside of our region of reach. So this will mean for us that we will also be able to deal with and deliver global projects that are sold by our partners in other regions in the world. In short, this will also strengthen our capabilities to deal with large projects that normally were not considering to use Linux. But now there is a global reach, global service, and unified product and quality standards that are available for the corporate market. We are also at Connectiva very proud to have our technical team recognized by our partners, and now we are working together to develop this unique product that combines the strengths and the qualities of many different regions and encompasses the best of breed of all the four of us. So, in short, this is a very significant point for us, and we now understand that Connectiva is now getting into the corporate market with the appropriate product. I will now turn over to Lee.
Thank you, Jack. This is Lee Pham from Table Linux. First, I'd like to say that this is absolutely a great and beautiful day in California, as well as for the United Linux team here. This is the first step among many bold steps that we will make, is reflect the beautiful spirit of the collaboration of the open source, be able to work together from a distributed engineering team from locations, as well as multiple cultures as reflected in this collaborative effort among the four companies here today. So I really like to thank my partners, Connectiva, SUSE, and Cadera, as well as all the partners on the line today. It reflects a presence both virtually and physical around the globe. So at this point in time, I'd like to talk a little bit about Table Linux and what United Linux means for us. We are a global software company with two lines of business, our Linux distribution business and our new server provisioning software business that is helping to automate the data center, where Linux continues to make tremendous inroads in the enterprise. Both of these software business lines are targeted at large enterprise IT organizations, and that's where Turbo Linux has always been focusing on for those for our products. We are also particularly our number one supplier of Linux for servers in Asia-Pacific, and a critical element of our success in AP is that we offer our customers local sales, training, education, support, and technical engineering know-how in emerging markets where Linux is the dominant force of adoption, such as China and Korea, and also a very stable and markets such as Japan. So I hope that you agree with all of us here that United Linux represents a major change in the Linux market, a change that breaks down the inhibitors to Linux growth. We all know that the top two inhibitors of Linux growth, first, the limited availability of business software, and second, that there are too many versions of Linux. United Linux knocks down both of these inhibitors. There will be a large ecosystem of software and hardware partners supporting United Linux because we have simplified and reduced the number of choices for Linux. With just one certification, our partners are positioned to leverage the leading Linux brands in major geographies like the high-growth China market and the rest of the world. Not only we save costs and simplify the certification process, we also simplify the communication process where there is now a one-go-to organization where we can talk about getting guidance from our customers and also guidance from the markets and our partners. Another benefit to our customers is a true enterprise-ready Linux offering that is the result of the best practices of four leading companies. United Linux effectively frees massive R&D resources for bolstering the enterprise readiness of Linux. So while all four United Linux members are contributing technical expertise to the development of the UL software, TurboLinux's primary role and technical expertise is to ensure that United Linux meets the need of the Asia-Pacific customers. And the collaboration and distributed development model is something very familiar to TurboLinux, where we already have gone through our own unification of our various source code base many years ago. So we have plenty of expertise in this distributed and collaborative development model with our partners. So to wrap up, the feedback from our customers and partners has been that United Linux is the right choice for their business. It saves costs, yet increase their revenue margin and simplify the communication process and input to our product lines. So what it means for the TurboLinux that going forward, United Linux will form the foundation for our TurboLinux Linux distribution product line and also our server provisioning software. We will certify and we'll make United Linux the premier distribution that we will certify that product on. And that's wrapped up the update for TurboLinux. I will turn it back to Tim.
Thank you, Lee. So now we're going to hear from each of the partners on the phone, beginning with Rich High, VP Platforms and Infrastructure for Advanced Micro Devices. Rich?
Thank you. Good morning. First, I'd like to thank the United Linux members for inviting AMD to this press conference. AMD is very pleased to be among the first supporters of United Linux. Our existing relationship with several of the founding companies have produced excellent products and advancement in technology that benefits our mutual customers. As a partner, AMD supports the United Linux mission to promote open, customer-focused standards that work across enterprise hardware and software platforms. Using standard technologies in new, innovative ways to benefit customers is a basic tenet at AMD and the cornerstone of United Linux. United Linux and AMD can list hardware and software partners to ensure ongoing development and deployment to meet market needs and expectations. Through collaboration and by remaining customer-focused, we at AMD expect United Linux to provide a global, uniform Linux distribution. AMD expects excellent customer benefits, especially for enterprise customers with 64-bit environments. More importantly, customers that have a mixed 32-bit and 64-bit environment will be able to deploy new application and platforms as their needs expand. The combination of United Linux and AMD x86-64 standards can allow customers to evolve even their most sophisticated computing environments using the same support and resources. And with that, that basically wraps up the AMD comments. And again, I can't express how pleased AMD is to be a partner to this great new venture. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. So now we're going to hear from Allison Dean, Senior Director of Rapid Application Development Solutions at Borland. Allison?
Thank you. Yes, Borland is also extremely excited to be here today. And we really view the United Linux strategy as very strategic for three key reasons. Firstly, from a technical standpoint, United Linux is really bringing together the best features and functionalities of the four Linux distributions into one very powerful operating system that can be used for enterprises of all sizes. Secondly, from a sales and marketing standpoint, this really makes Linux stronger, as now United Linux offers a consistent message globally, which is definitely strategically needed in the marketplace today. And then thirdly, from an ISV standpoint, where Borland sits very strongly, there is now great goodness with respect that there is now only one Linux distribution to certify on, as opposed to four, which is extremely important to us as we move forward with Kylix, our leading rapid application development solution for Linux, and how we take that into the market with the United Linux team. That really wraps up Borland's comments with respect to the announcement today, and we would also like to thank the partners for including this.
Thank you, Allison. So now we're going to hear from John Pinkham, Vice President of Marketing at Computer Associates. John?
Thank you, Tim. And we at CA also want to thank the initiative team for enabling us to be part of this important event. As a company that has demonstrated unmatched commitment to Linux as an enterprise computing platform, we at Computer Associates are delighted to support the United Linux Initiative. CA currently offers more than 50 solutions that manage, secure, preserve, and integrate Linux in the heterogeneous enterprise. We have made key e-business management solutions such as Unicenter, BrightStore, and eTrust available on Linux. We believe that the broad-based cooperative effort being announced here will further accelerate the embrace of Linux by customers across all market segments, and that it will enable them to realize the significant technical and business benefits that Linux offers in their distributed and mainframe implementations. We are very pleased that these key members of the Linux community are working together to offer the market this critical value proposition, enabling Linux to assume its rightful place as a strategic enterprise platform. This kind of cooperation, especially based on standards such as LSB, really helps move Linux forward by making it easier for customers to assimilate Linux into their total enterprise environments. We just again want to express our congratulations and our appreciation to be part of this. Thank you.
Thank you, John. So now we are to hear from Dr. Joseph Rieger, Chief Technology Officer, Fujitsu Siemens. Dr. Rieger.
Well, thank you for inviting me to the call. I'm actually calling in from a small country in Europe called Hungary, where I'm on vacation. I think this shows how important to me and to my company this announcement is. Fujitsu Siemens Computers welcomes wholeheartedly today's announcement of United Linux. For my company and for the Fujitsu group of companies, this effort is very significant. There's no time, so I would just like to pick out two words that make this announcement important to us. One is global, and the second one is enterprise. Global is important because Fujitsu Siemens is part of a worldwide cooperation of Fujitsu companies, and we are actually the source of all Intel architecture servers within the Fujitsu group. For our home market in Europe, we need to provide support for SUSE Linux. And for the American, Latin American, Japanese, and Asian markets, obviously we need to provide support for the other distributions as well. For us and for the whole group, life is going to be much easier with United Linux because of the global nature in the global markets. And the second one was enterprise. United Linux is an enterprise Linux version, and this is very significant for us because we are in the process of re-emphasizing our Linux strategy in the enterprise. Fujitsu Siemens has a long reputation of an experienced company in the enterprise IT, and we intend to live up to that reputation in the Linux segment as well. Our strategic theme is called Business Critical Computing, and Business Critical Computing obviously requires global enterprise-grade Linux versions. The fewer, the better. My last thought, we are not just seeking opportunities to certify and qualify for fewer Linux versions. We want to do more with more. The expenses we save by supporting United Linux will not be booked as savings. We will be using them to do more for Linux in general. United Linux is a very good platform to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Rieger. Now we are going to hear from Judy Chavis, Director of Linux Program Office at Hewlett-Packard. Judy.
Yes. Hello, everyone. And I also want to congratulate all four players on this announcement. I know it's been long in coming. My comments are going to be brief. The announcement for the new HP, and even if you go back to the pre-merger between Compaq and Hewlett-Packard, this has been very significant for us and very important. All of us on the phone, I think, have pointed out some of the gotchas around Linux, the many distributions. And if I went to kernel.org or the, you know, linux.com, there's over 250 Linux distributions, and we're always faced with which one should we, you know, test on, which one should we drive the solution on, who should we support. So I really congratulate the four players here on coming together and doing this. This is the best news, I want to say, on American terms, since sliced bread. The announcement for the new HP, though, it really helps us solve where we're driving Linux. And for us, we're working on enterprise-class applications. We're moving Linux up the food chain, what I would call the sun, you know, food chain here, basically. We're working with ISVs like SAP, Oracle, BEA, et cetera, and really providing what I would call a standard solution for our customers. All of us here have these same customers in deploying their Linux-based solutions. And for us going forward with the new HP, especially on the ProLiant industry standard server platform, we were supporting literally all of these distributions. And for us, this really minimizes both the marketing resource, the engineering resources that we had in driving the ProLiant platform into these, I would say, risk-based environments, because that's a lot of where we see Linux moving. We also had a heritage here on the Alpha platform with both SUSE and Turbo Linux. And with this announcement as well, it solves both the ProLiant IE32, the Alpha platform, and the IPF platforms that we're looking forward to as well, the IE64, for Linux-based solutions. The only thing I can say here is this is really good news. All the players know we've been working really hard on a lot of the different solutions, the different certifications. LPI, Linux Professional Institute, is another one that we support here in the new HP with our training programs as well. We have a heritage with Caldera and SUSE going back, and with Turbo on the their deployment Linux software. So this is great. This is wonderful. I'm looking forward to this going forward and just looking forward to driving more solutions and eating into some of this business. Our platforms for us going forward in IA32 will be Red Hat and United Linux going forward. Thank you guys very much.
So finally, we're going to hear from Scott Handy, Director of Linux Software Marketing at IBM. Scott?
Hi, I'm Scott Handy. As he mentioned, Director of Linux Software Solutions for IBM Worldwide. First of all, I'd like to say that IBM will fully support United Linux across our entire Linux portfolio of hardware, software, and services offerings. It's important to be clear that we will also continue to aggressively support Red Hat Linux across the same portfolio. United Linux is what our ISVs, channel partners, and customers are asking for: less distributions to support and broader international coverage from a single distribution. United Linux supports 10 languages across North America, Europe, and Asia Pacific, which makes it extremely attractive for our international customers and partners. United Linux will make it easier to build and deploy Linux solutions. Customers and partners now have a single distribution from these four companies for porting, testing, and deploying their e-business applications, reducing their costs and simplifying their deployment. As a longstanding member of the Linux community, we look forward to supporting United Linux across our broad e-server line, across more than 50 IBM software products already supported on Linux, and through our global services offerings. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. So before we open it up to Q&A, just three quick points to reiterate the facts of this announcement. This announcement of United Linux is driven by four companies, but is open to every Linux distribution around the globe. Each distro provider will ultimately deliver United Linux on one CD and add value for the same package with an additional CD of material. The code base itself will be unified. And while it's possible, it really isn't possible to put a number on it, but the economies of scale each firm is recognizing as a result of United Linux will create time, money, resources to create new ways to make Linux more enterprise-ready than it is today, and will spur massive innovation among the four groups. Operator, now we'd like to open it up to Q&A. I'd just like to remind folks that we recognize there are some people on the call who are listening in. For those who are not media and analysts, you are in listen-only mode, but we'd now, operator, like to open it up for Q&A with media and analysts.
Thank you very much, sir. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. We'll proceed in the order that you signal us, and we'll take as many questions as time permits. Once again, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone to ask a question. Also, please limit yourself to just one question initially. If you do have any follow-up questions, please re-queue. And our first question today will come from Brent Williams with McDonald Investments.
Hi. Thanks for hosting a conference call on this announcement. Question for the four key partners. How does the investment dollars spent and the revenue allocation from the distribution sales go? So, for example, SUSE indicated that they'll be doing most of the heavy lifting on QA, and does that mean that they get most of any shared revenue allocated back, or does everybody just do their own thing and hope for the best?
Why don't we start with SUSE on that, since you mentioned SUSE. Gerhard, would you like to start on that question?
Well, I think the whole effort or the whole initiative is a joint initiative where we share whatever it costs. That means we share the efforts, and after that we share what it brings back. As far as the marketing business is concerned, every partner is going to run its own business based on this United Linux product.
Can I just add to that? Just from a business perspective, the integrator will receive some additional compensation for being the integrator, but the model is set up so that all of the partners then share equally for their investment there. So clearly there has to be some compensation for the efforts that go into the effort that you indicated there.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Stephen Shanklin with CNET.
Hi, guys. I was curious how this factors in with the Linux standard base. It seems to be that this is sort of seeking to accomplish much of the same thing in terms of using IHV and ISV certification. So does this mean that the Linux standard base accomplished too little too late, or how does that factor into this initiative?
Edson, why don't you tackle that question first, then we can throw it around for some more comments.
Okay, Stephen. Clearly, the initiative here does go beyond Linux standard base in that it is a complete distribution, but don't belittle the fact that or the importance of Linux standard base. To us, what we are is an implementation of that standard. It does enable Red Hat and others to also be compliant with that as well. So I see that as a very important piece as an independent standards group. Clearly, they also the LI18NUX standard as well. Those are key and important things that for Linux in general, we want to be completely compliant with those and be a full implementation. We may go beyond the standard, but in some ways that's healthy too for the ISV and IHV community. So I think the answer is clearly we are 100% supportive of and would continue to support the free standards group and what they're trying to accomplish in the industry.
Thank you. Our next question comes from James Lewis with Channel Business Magazine.
Hi. I just had a question. I know that some of the other distributions, the Red Hat Alliance, also have their own ideas about how the industry should be going, and they have signed companies like Borland, which is also a partner with this new initiative. How do you plan on getting some of the distribution-led coalitions on board into the United Linux?
Well, why don't we start with Lee on that, since she's got a take on the sales and marketing of this. Lee, do you want to provide a comment on that?
Sure. Our organization said follow a true collaboration model. So we constantly invite and welcome any participation from any other Linux distribution to join our effort. That is the power of all of us getting together beyond just the four of us. This is just the beginning of this effort. As far as Red Hat and their alliance program, again, each company, including Red Hat and Turbo or any other partners and other Linux distribution will continue to have their own marketing and sales effort where United Linux help our partners is that now they have one single place where they can go and coalesce their marketing dollars to leverage the global brand of United Linux across the world, yet at the same time leverage their local market-specific marketing dollars at those markets and for very specific programs that they want to target to.
Thank you. Paul Horvitz with Bloomberg News has our next question.
Yes, I wonder if you can tell us what the total investment is likely to run for this project. And secondly, was Red Hat invited to join? If so, what reason did they give for not joining? If not, why not?
Ransom, why don't we go to you on that?
Okay. Let me just we talk about the last portion first, if I could.
Sure.
Clearly, pulling together the four companies with the very diverse cultural and business backgrounds and markets, frankly, was a pretty daunting task. And hats off, frankly, to every company on this call. We have put a lot of time and effort just bringing together the framework that was needed. We started from the inception with the concept that this framework could be leveraged beyond the four companies, but felt that it was inappropriate and would be counterproductive to bring more than the four entities together to form the framework. The intent was, once that framework was in place, we could then go out and effectively invite others to participate within that framework. Just so you know, we did sign the documents. The ink is just drying from yesterday. But as soon as they were dried, we met that commitment. We called Red Hat. I visited with Michael Evans last night. Explained to him what the initiative was, invited their participation, knew that they did not have time to respond in time to participate in the call or within the organization, but promised that we would have follow-up discussions over the next several weeks so that they can understand how they would support that. I also had a call this morning with Mandrake, and they were also very receptive and open to having further dialogues. And so the process has already begun. We're very much committed to working with other industry partners. And I might add, Red Hat's initial comment was one of even wanting to provide us a quote in support of this effort because they see it as good for Linux overall and part of the maturation that has to take place for Linux to be very successful as an alternative business platform. So that that answers the first question. This, as far as the cost overall, that's a little bit hard to quantify because we're dealing with cost structures and engineering groups from all over the world which have very different cost components. So it is a collaborative team, as we've mentioned. The core of that team is in Germany, but we do have representatives of that team in Latin America and Brazil with Conectiva and in Asia Pacific with Turbo. So it's difficult to actually put the total quantity together of costs, but let me just make a statement kind of on the reverse of that. By collaborating, we actually have greatly reduced every one of our costs significantly. I don't think we can even calculate that completely because if you look at what it does is it allows us to leverage the ISV and partnerships and relationships from a geographic basis so that we don't have to spend the cost to go out individually and try to solicit that support. So we're able to leverage that now. And so overall, I think the total cost savings for the companies is significant. And thus, as I believe Fujitsu Siemens stated, we can do more with more. We can actually invest those dollars into adding even more value and as a business solution to our respective customer sets.
Thank you. Stephen Von Nichols with Practical Technology has our next question.
Good morning, folks. or good afternoon for some of you. Following up on the question about the other Linux distributions, what about Sun? Has there been any switches now been making a serious move into Linux? Is there been any efforts at this time to directly approach Sun to see if they would care to get involved in this project? Of course, the door from what you've just said is open to Sun and their Linux product, but has there been any significant effort there to engage them in the United Linux project? Hello?
Tim, who would you like to answer that question?
I'd like Ransom to answer that first.
Okay.
Sorry.
Stephen, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
What we have actually approached Sun and spoken to them. As you know, Sun is a multifaceted company with many, many different aspects to their business. And frankly, they and many others, we have approached many of the reasons we don't have others on the call is because they haven't had time to completely analyze it and what it means and how they would participate, because it could mean a very varied level of participation. And so, yes, we have contacted them. They seem very receptive and interested in United Linux. And but again, it's a timing aspect more than anything else, as with other major players in the industry. Most of our contacts and information of the partners that are online began in earnest a week or two ago only. So it will take some time for all of the interested parties to come forth and express their interest in this effort. Just a matter of time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question today comes from Shane Schick with IT Business.
Hi. I was wondering if anyone had any insights on how users will be involved in the development of Unified Linux. Traditionally, it's been very much a community sort of effort, and this sort of seems like kind of a company-driven effort. I wondered if anyone had any thoughts on sort of how they'll be included in the process.
Jock from Konectiva, maybe you want to speak a little bit about how the charter of United Linux works for soliciting customer feedback and building that into the distribution.
Yeah, I will address on the point of the customer, and I will also ask Marcus Rex to help me on that, because it seems that there is something regarding also the technical development based on community. So we'll start with the customer service also first. So first of all, starting today, we are going to start marketing and advertising our product and reaching the market to understand the industry geography, what are the requirements, and what would be the key features that some customers will require. And as we have this freedom to adapt to local markets, each distribution by themselves would be able to make the regional add-ons to serve the customers, either in terms of the technical product itself or in terms of services. So, for instance, in Latin America, the region where Konectiva is now doing business, customers require a lot of physical presence, so on-site presence. So this is something that we will be dealing with. So this will be incorporated. But I'll turn also to Marcus Rex. So, Marcus, can you help me with this community involvement in the development of our product?
Yes, Jack. All four Linux partners here have in the past been very actively working together with the community to enhance Linux to further bring the Linux technology further, and we will continue to do that in the future. We will continue to work together with the community to bring new features out into Linux and to make Linux ready to serve the customer's needs. The slight change that you mentioned there is probably only going to be the way what exactly the United Linux distribution will contain when it will be released. Right now there are thousands of software packages that can be put into a distribution. Some distributions do that with the focus on the desktop. Others do that with the focus on the server. And United Linux will do that with the focus on the enterprise market.
Hi, this is Lisa. Let me add some comments to my colleagues here. In terms of process, from a structural standpoint, we certainly will share more details in the next few days. But the intention is that there will be a technical advisory committee, where that is the single body for all contacts from end users and customers and partners to give us your requirements and your input and any other requests that you have regarding the United Linux products, and also any interest to participate in alpha, beta programs of the and the product development feedback cycle as well. So we will come forward with more details on the name and contact point, but that is the structure that we intend to have moving forward.
Thank you. Moving on, we'll hear from Kevin Restivo with IDC.
Hi. Wondering how, I guess, four companies individually plan to roll this out to their respective resellers and or partners that are going to sell this in terms of just general overall training and support and any other kind of resources that that their resellers may need. How do you plan to roll this out to your respective resellers?
Lee, why don't we go to you on that?
So the product is a common product, and then each company will add their own local support training as it pertains to their markets and their solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Then we work with each of our resellers, and in some cases we will collaborate on some of the more international partners so that we can provide a consistent support training and marketing message around the product, as well as some of the local markets as well.
This is Ransom. Let me just jump into that one a little bit. We do have a very broad reseller channel that, frankly, I think opens up the opportunity. The step that we have today in announcing this is just the first step along many possible opportunities to leverage technologies and resources of the four companies and even potentially then leverage the channel infrastructure that might exist there. As I mentioned in my comments earlier, United Linux is very valuable to the reseller and to the channel because it does solve what I think is critical. It provides a very viable business model. Most resellers have to spend the time, money, and energy to train themselves and their staff on a particular technology base, and if there's not a good, solid revenue opportunity for them moving forward, it's difficult for them to embrace that. And this is one thing that I think United Linux, with its a combination of both product and service, which fits the model worldwide. As you know, the channel is very diverse depending on what part of the world you're in. Many are still product focused and cannot go to a pure service model. And I believe that United Linux now provides them a very viable business model and opportunity to invest and then gain and recoup the investment they would make in embracing Linux.
Thank you. Our next question today comes from Todd Weiss with Computer World.
Hi. Thank you very much. I guess one of the things I did want to find out, Ransom Love was talking a little bit ago about the four companies originally who were talking about this sort of had the framework that they were setting up, and that's where it stayed. They limited themselves to a certain number of companies. I guess one of the striking things I wonder is why wouldn't Red Hat have been approached as part of that original group, being the market-leading Linux company? And also, just to find out, which company, or is there some company among the four that began this whole United Linux effort?
Ransom, why don't we start with you?
as far as not approaching Red Hat originally, again, we have had together, and this kind of answers the second part of your question first, that's becoming a habit with me. We have had discussions among parties for some time. I mean, they even date back clear to a discussion that was presented to Linux International almost six years ago with Bruce Perrin saying we needed a standard, which was the basic base of LSB. And so in some ways, this is a culmination of that, a collaborative reference platform.
that has come out of those discussions. And so, frankly, the selection of the four companies is that we needed to have global coverage, and so that's what really drove the formation of the four pillars, I guess, if you will. We picked on having, you know, getting the market presence in each of the global areas because we knew that our ISVs and OEMs were demanding that of us, as were each of the respective partners here felt the same same pressure from their partners as well. So it was more of a it took, frankly, longer. We anticipated to be able to do this very quickly, but it took us longer and a lot more effort to pull together the framework. But now that we have it, I think we can quickly move forward and embrace some of these other companies.
Thank you. We'll hear next from Dennis Powell with Linux in Maine.
Yeah, there's seemingly a huge movement toward enterprise, kind of to the exclusion of the quote Linux community unquote, and I'm curious as to how this is going to figure in with United Linux, particularly as pertains to licensing policies. Is there going to be a common licensing standard for each of the distributions as a result of this?
Gerhard, why don't you start with that, and then maybe Lee, you might want to jump in on this.
I would like to hand this over to Ransom as well.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I think on the licensing, first of all, may I stress again, this is the focus of this is obviously towards the business customer, because we feel for Linux to be successful in overall, we have to solve the business server issue first, because that's where Linux will be deployed in a business or enterprise. And so the constructs of this framework that we put together does address that basic framework. So the product, the license that we have, we cannot fix pricing between the four companies. So there's still liberty and freedom for each of us to address solutions to our respective geographic markets and price accordingly. As far as the licensing, the only issue that we're doing there is that we will make the source code freely available to all, just in complete compliance with the open source community and open source efforts. The binaries will not be made freely available for a variety of reasons, because, again, we are focusing more to the business customer. One is a support issue. The other is a certification and quality of that certification on a global basis. And so the binaries will not be made available, but source code and access to that will be totally in compliance with the open source licenses that already exist, the GPL and other open source licenses that are totally are already available on all the technologies we're talking about.
This is Judy Chavis from the new HP. Just my comment on it as well. I do think it's still good for the open source community here around United Linux, and I actually call it United Nations Linux with all the companies coming together. The thing that I always want to make sure that we understand, our customers are moving to Linux for business reasons, right? So the open source movement will still continue. The sandbox will still be there. Engineers will still play. We'll still continue to do development in the open source space. A lot of our engineers here in the new HP are doing a lot of that work as well. But in the end, we all have to, the customer is going to do this for business reasons, so it has to be good in the end for the customer. And the real benefit behind all of this is that Red Hat is still a major player here, and now these four majors have come together, and like they said, Mandrake, Red Hat, the others can come in as well. It really does move Linux, makes Linux what I would call more enterprise ready. That's my only comment.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that just to add, I appreciate Judy jumping in there, because again, we are experimenting here with a business model that I think is viable. It's based on the open source model of collaboration, but it also still has the elements that are critical, which is profit motives and the ability to continue to fuel innovation in the open source arena going forward. So it's critical that clearly it's a balance, but it's an important balance and one that I think is revolutionary. Will greatly benefit Linux overall.
Hi, this is Lee. I'm just going to add a comment to that. I just want to make sure that we understand that United Linux is not a movement about anti-Red Hat. We look at Red Hat is equally an important partner because this announcement is bigger than any one single Linux distribution company. It's all about satisfying the need of our customers, in particular business and enterprise customers, which are fundamentally their requirements is that quality, reliability, and choices. So when we need to provide those needs, and as we provide quality choices, then the market will expand. And that's what we really see United Linux is the beginning of that collaboration among all vendors, Linux distribution companies, and customers.
It's actually Connectiva. I would like to add, building on top of what you just said, it's about quality for our customers that did not have access of all this for all the certifications outside our region. Now it's also availability and reliability, because it's not relying on only one single company. And for us, it's very clear that there are two different segments. One is the enterprise large corporation market that we are addressing with United Linux. And we have another very clear and distinct segment that's looking for something completely different from what the large corporation is looking for. That's the what we call the user community. And we will continue with our line of business for the user of the community.
Thank you very much. As a reminder to our audience today, if you do have a question or you have a follow-up question, please press star 1. And moving on, we'll hear from Rob Lipschitz with Thing 7.
Yes, thank you very much. Part of my question was just answered, but let me extend sort of the idea of Linux on the desktop, or Linux not just as an enterprise server, but also as a desktop administration or even possibly a productivity tool. How far does this initiative go in to the desktop with things like KDE and GNOME and other desktop productivity tools like OpenOffice.org? Is there any part of that that's a part of this initiative?
Why don't we start with SUSE? Maybe Marcus and Gerhard, you could address that first.
Yeah, I would like to answer the question. This is Marcus speaking. We will include into the United Linux a desktop, both KDE and GNOME. We will not include something like OpenOffice or other tools because this is something where we think that that the customer still should have a choice and all the four partners should be able to differentiate and do some value add-on. But the basic functionality, like a desktop, will be there.
It's actually Connectiva. In our discussions, I learned that in South America and I think in Europe and also in some countries in Asia, the Linux organization in desktop is really picking up and it's clear. There are clear signs that it's a double-digit penetration. And basically talking about the reality here in Brazil, we feel that and we see that the clients of our market, they buy our product, the Connectiva Linux, also to use on the desktop. And there is one aggregation to that, that is the Office Solutions, whatever it's called. They have a regional agreement, so we have a regional agreement with Sun, and we distribute our, I don't like to use the term, but our low-end product, our box here, also with the Star Office from Sun. We have a agreement for many years. So we offer a complete solution for the desktop, so this is how it works in our region. Hello,
yeah, this is Ransom. Let me just, I think each of the parties has the ability to take and create, you know, derivative works that meet the workstation client markets more specifically. They will not be branded United Linux because this initiative is to actually satisfy the ISV and OEM. We want to get applications to the platform, and we believe that will start and needs to be solved at the server level first. But again, this is the first step, and we will evolve it from there. But each of us will continue to provide both workstation products as well, or clients to that, even if they're even some of the low end, you know, point of sale and other type clients as well.
Let me go to the next question.
Yes, thank you. Moving on, we'll hear from Brian Proffitt with Linux Today.
Good morning. This is going to be a follow-up. So I was going to specifically ask SUSE if they would be using United Linux for their retail product. So what I am hearing now then to confirm is that each distribution will be able to put out a more of a consumer-based distro that will not be a part of this program?
This is Gerald from SUSE. Uh-huh. So there will be a separate distribution for consumer as it is today, but this is not labeled United Linux. That's a separate story here.
Okay.
United Linux is enterprise only.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll hear from Brent Williams with McDonald Investments.
Question for you on clustering technology. Is there any particular focus on is there any focus on combining any R&D efforts that you can do that you've been doing to date on either clustering or actually also on the provisioning / management / installation / deployment service pieces on both of those?
Why don't we start with Marcus, and then Lee, you may want to add a comment.
We are working together, and what will be included in the United Linux is some basic functionality for high availability clustering. There will be a common installer backend and some joint development on the installer front end. As of right now, there is lots of room for the for all of the partners here to do some value add as far as deployment and software management is concerned. Maybe Lee would want to add something here.
Sure. So in terms of value added and clustering technologies, all of that, again, United Linux is positioned for enterprise. So there are a lot of common functions and basic functions that have been commoditized in the high availability, for example. Those will most likely will be on the target for the features of United Linux. However, that still leaves a lot of room for value-added advanced clustering, distributing computing, and server provisioning. Those we consider to be areas for each company to move and to enhance. So in speaking strictly for Turbo Linux, so our Power Cockpit will provision both Linux and other OS as well. Again, it's serve the enterprise and the data centers where we see Linux is primary drivers for growth, but at the same time we need to coexist with other OS. So those are value added that Turbo Linux continue to move forward. At the same time, we also always look for common features and commoditized features that we could add and enhance this enterprise unit Linux solutions.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, and this is John Finkham from Computer Associates. From our perspective, we already offer unit center cluster management to manage the failover process for many of the distributions. And now having a single code path that we need to port to makes it a whole lot easier for us to provide that functionality to the whole initiative. In addition, we also offer software delivery and asset management solutions to make it easy for people to distribute software into their Linux-based environments. And again, having a single base to work from makes it far easier for us to offer those solutions to the enterprise customers.
Thank you. Tina Gasperson with Linux.com has our next question.
Hello. I just wanted to follow up on the source code question and was wondering if the source code is going to be made freely available to anybody who wants it or just to customers? And if it's going to be freely available for anyone, what is the benefit of a company joining, and what kind of fee do they have to pay to be a part of it?
Let me start with you on that, Ransom.
All right. As far as the source code, under the current GPL open licenses by which the nearly all of the technologies we are talking about, we do have to make the source code freely available. The binaries we are not making freely available for the two reasons I mentioned before. But as far as the participation, what happens if someone were to take the source code and actually then try to compile and create an entity, they could not use the United Linux brand. They would not be a certified platform with many of the ISVs and OEMs in the industry. So clearly they can do that, and for the open source development effort, that's still a key component to enable them to participate in that effort. As far as a fee for them to participate, the basic principle that we have of us coming together is we're actually sharing the cost of developing what we have been actually duplicating. So we're freeing up our resources then to focus on additional value opportunities for our customers, respective customer set. So as far as the fee is predominantly or will be associated with offsetting, the cost of actually developing the base product that we're developing jointly.
Thank you. Maureen O'Gara with Client Server News has our next question.
Good morning, people. Can you tell me what exactly United Linux has got in it?
So,
and how
you want to work on that question?
And how it's different from what all of you folks already have?
Well,
and then what you're going to develop for the enterprise, and what your relationship, if any, is going to be with OSDL, which sounds like we're carrying coals to Newcastle here. Because you're going to have two separate development efforts for enterprise Linux. And I'd like to know from IBM why it spent all that money, for instance, with Intel and CA and the rest of the guys setting up OSDL. And then I'd like to understand the global mechanism and how it works. Like, if you're not represented, if Caldera is not represented in Afghanistan, for instance, and there's a call for this stuff, who gets the order and how do you work it out?
Well, that's a lot more than one question, Maureen.
Yes, I know. But I thought we'd move it along.
Let's start with what it's consisted of. First of all, rather than start from scratch, we are basing this the core around the SUSE SLES product.
But when you say what? Which?
SLES, the server.
The Linux Enterprise Server.
Enterprise Server. Okay, thank you.
Yes, the Enterprise Server. Then we're adding back in a number of the innovations and technologies and business processes that each of us have developed over the years. So you're going to actually see, a lot of the work that's been done, for example, with Turbo and the Asian OEMs and their drivers, and will be included so that out of the chute we'll have a truly global product there. There's
okay,
a number
so
of other.
You're going to have Chinese drivers in this thing.
You'll have not only Chinese but Japanese, Korean, European, and American platforms and drivers. So it will be truly a global product.
Okay, are we just talking drivers here, Ransom?
No, not entirely just drivers, okay. But all of the associated technologies that which you would need to have a functional distribution run on those platforms.
Well, I mean, you guys have got a list. What's on the list?
Well, the list will actually, some of this information will become readily available through technical white papers, and as we release the alphas and betas, you'll get a lot more information on the specific details that you're asking for.
Are the details, have you made all these decisions yet, or is it still that you don't? You haven't?
So all the decisions about the details have already been taken. It's just we are just in the process of creating all the white papers to make them publicly available.
Okay.
So all of the information is forthcoming in that regards. So that's what's included as far as when
you're
talking about.
How do you handle the proprietary stuff that you guys have got in your distros? Are you pulling all that stuff out, or are you going to make that stuff DPL?
Maureen, we got to move on to some other questions.
No, we don't.
Everybody
who's on this call cares about the answers to these questions. So why don't
we answer them? There's no question about that. But if we could let Ransom try and address all the other questions you've asked, and then if we could set something else up offline, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah. As far as you know, what will be added after this? Clearly, there are opportunities, things that we can do now. Jointly to enhance the enterprise capabilities. There's efforts that Caldera and expertise, you know, there's code optimizers and compilers that we can leverage. Let me talk a little bit about OSDL, if I could. We have briefed OSDL on this, and they were very supportive of this initiative. They did not see it as a conflict. Their charter's a little bit different than actually delivering a enterprise distribution. I think they're trying to enhance and make Linux more acceptable to the enterprise, and thus many of the research and other activities they're doing can actually be folded into the effort that we're doing, which is actually productization of a product for the enterprise. So and for businesses in general. So I think the two are highly complementary. I believe, have a supportive quote. If not in the press, they will do so in the future because they were very, very supportive on the phone. So those are not in all honesty, Maureen, I've lost track of all the different questions you asked, but I think in general we've covered the first wave of questions there.
Thank you. Can we get just a brief, before we lose it, though, can we get a brief comment from IBM, you know, for Maureen's question earlier?
On
Scott, are you there? Can you provide a quick comment?
Sure. This is Scott Handy from IBM. So when you look at how the Linux community works, the work we're doing with OSDL is working on an enterprise Linux that actually feeds the community effort behind this. It gets put into the kernel through the community efforts. And it's the results of those work that get picked up by United Linux and get picked up by Red Hat, get picked up by the industry and packaged into distributions for sale. So really that work feeds into, this is more about how the Linux community works, feeds into the whole community effort. So they're not quite as related, whereas United Linux is very focused on picking up, you know, the best of and the latest Linux releases and packaging them together for sale and support to customers. So they're related, but not directly related. So it makes a lot of sense to do both.
Thank you very much, sir. We have our next question from Russell Pavlika with InfoWorld Magazine.
Yes, my question has to do with hardware architectures. I noticed that, or at least as far as I know, some of the main members here have a number of different hardware architectures currently supported inside their product lines. What architectures are going to be specifically supported by United Linux, and what's going to be the impact on any non-supported hardware architectures? Are we going to start seeing that that two products from the same company will actually feel different as far as directory structures and stuff like this as a result of this?
Why don't we start with you on that, Marcus?
Okay. I will just repeat the list of supported hardware architectures. That will be the x86 architecture, the current 32-bit technology. Then there will be the Itanium processor family. Then there will be AMD's new upcoming x86-64 technology. Then there will be IBM's Z-series, I-series, and P-series architectures. All these will be available on time in Q4 for a Q4 release. Gerd, would you want to add something about the second part of the question?
That's right.
What will happen if another for the non-supported architectures?
No, I think the United Linux approach here is that we just support the architectures that Mark just mentioned, and we keep for sure supporting individually whatever we have in our plan in our contracts. This is the first step we are going to announce here, the first step of more to come. And I think that immediately after this announcement, we are continuing our talks to our technology partners and then end up with a list of activities which we are going to announce as soon as there is something to announce. So what we have today on the table here is a first step, as I said, and a bunch of discussions we are already started so far, but it is too early to talk about.
Why don't we take, operator, if we could take two more questions, and then we'll need to wrap up.
Absolutely, sir. Our next question comes from Oliver Dietrich with City Magazine.
Hello, good afternoon from Germany. Just one question which was partly answered, I guess. You are talking that United Linux will be a core Linux operating environment. What exactly does this mean? Will you include, for example, a common administration tool, something like this?
Marcus, you want to handle that?
Yes. Hello. We will include basic common administration functionality. We will have a complete common installation tool, and we will have a complete common desktop. Did that answer your question?
Clearly, there's an opportunity then for companies to like Caldera's Volution and Turbo's Cockpit and others to add value in the management, the provisioning and other capabilities going forward.
Okay, thank you.
And our final question today comes from Org Wolf with Linux Magazine Germany.
Accidentally, this was just the same question Oliver did recap, so it's already answered.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that does conclude today's question and answer session. At this time, Mr. Myers, I'll turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Right. So I appreciate everybody's time. Just a couple of closing facts here. So just to be absolutely clear on this, every Linux distribution company around the world is invited to join the United Linux Alliance. There's significant hope that this first step will invite a number of other companies to join the effort, and for the record, both Mandrake and Red Hat have in fact been approached, and we hope there will be more to report there over time. In terms of packaging, each distribution provider will ultimately deliver one United Linux CD and add value for the same package with an additional CD of material. The code base itself will be unified, and we believe that you will see by the end of the year, when United Linux is expected to be introduced, that massive economies of scale will be freed up, and there will be more innovation and more improvement that will drive Linux even further into the enterprise over the course of time. I want to thank everybody again for their time. Please be sure to go to www.unitedlinux.com. That's UNITEDLINUX. .com for further information today. That website is live. If you want additional interviews with individual CEOs, please contact either Kate DeGutis at 503-329-3762. Once again, 503-329-3762, or her email, kdegutis, KDEGUTES at upstart.com, or myself, Tim Byers, at 303-881-6467. That's 303-881-6467, or T Byers, TBEYERS at upstart.com. Thank you again for your time, operator. We're now ready to end the call.
Thank you very much, sir. And that does conclude today's conference. Thank you, everyone, for joining.